It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're coming back at you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're shifting gears from recruiting to back to the blue-white game. Just another look back on what we saw, what we learned from that game. It's the end of spring practice, so you have to kind of look at it, Greg, as the culmination of a bigger, much bigger body of work than you saw on Saturday. James Franklin mentioned he was very pleased to get he thought everybody on the field, everybody who could have a chance to play, yep, got on the field and got a chance to play. So you look at, you know, just one day out of the spring, one scrimmage, and you can't draw too many conclusions, but we did see enough that we can start to wonder about some things. So what we're going to do is a stock up, stock down. The stock down portion of it might be particularly unfair given the timing and the limited nature of things. But this is what we do after every regular season game. It's what we're going to do for the spring game too, Greg. I'm going to give you the honors and what jumped off the page to you as something to feel especially optimistic about.
Stock up, Nick Bowers, tight end, Penn State football, veteran guy. It's been around a while. I think he's struggled with some injuries, and I think that he's finally rounding in the form right now and being a guy that is truly capable of taking the next step and being a strong quality contributor to this team as a backup to Pat Freiermuth or a potential starter if Freiermuth would get hurt. So I was really impressed by him. It backed up what we saw from we heard about him all spring. He had a couple nice catches on Sean Clifford throws down the field. He looked like he was strong, ran routes well, is capable of blocking. So Ricky Ronnie didn't get too creative with two tight end sets in 2018. He looks like he'll have that opportunity this year though.
So a little while back, a few weeks, I think, James Franklin was just – I think it was in the context of the transfer portal and losing guys and having guys who want to come and stick it out, you know, getting past the expectation that you're going to be essentially a star right away.
Right.
That it happens differently for everybody. And you can hold up a bunch of examples. Troy Apke was, I think, one he mentioned by name. So – I say that because I think Nick Bowers kind of embodies that for James Franklin. He wasn't the most highly regarded player in the country or anything whenever he came aboard in the, 2015
right,
recruiting class. But just it looked just like when he had an opportunity to make a move up the depth chart is when he got injured. And that essentially took, two full years away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have him – surging back into that equation and being a bona fide number two tight end. And he strikes me as a guy when you look back after the dust settles in the 2019 season, Nick Bowers, you know, certainly at his best has NFL caliber size, strength, athleticism.
Yep.
I think blocking is another one of his strong suits. And one big year has a chance to change his future. And I suspect maybe next spring, James Franklin could be holding up Nick Bowers as a guy, as a reason to stay the course, because he did. And not in the same context as him shopping around, but his career just not going by that ideal plan. A lot of guys' careers don't go by that ideal plan,
right?
And he's a good example of somebody who's sticking it out, and that really has a chance to have a nice year coming up, and that will be huge, I think, for the Penn State offense. You saw it down the seam, a couple of big chunk plays, I think, to set up a short Ricky Slade touchdown run.
Yes.
Who, by the way, on that play, I was sitting next to you, got blown up in the hole. He crossed, yep, the goal line. Somebody hit him and sent him backwards.
Yeah, I'm not sure who came down. It might have been Justin Neff, that hard-hitting safety for Penn State.
Neffer. I think Justin Neff, he could be your starting safety.
He should be your starting safety. He had a good game.
he did.
That's, I'm not joking, yeah.
That white team secondary as a whole, I thought, had a nice game. They really held their own, and it came up. I think in the previous show, the context, you know, them setting it up so all your starters, all your prime scholarship guys, all your veterans are on one team, your walk-on types, your true freshmen, and a couple others on the white team, it creates this dynamic where, you know, A, it's not competitive to the point of risking injury. I guess that's probably one of the prime motivators behind it. But also it creates this dynamic where the white team seems to want it more than the blue team does.
Agreed.
And so I think
the white team wants to prove something and the blue team just wants to get the heck out of there.
And I think when you look at the especially the blue team offense versus the white team defense, that's what I think was the difference. They were competing harder than the blue team was.
It's a good preview for Penn State Idaho in a couple months.
I think that's fair. I also don't think you're going to have a problem with Penn State starters competing in that game. Agreed. I would hope not anyway. But yeah, I think Nick Bowers was a big one in that game. I know we've talked about it a bunch, and I know you risk overblowing it some, but Noah Kane just looked like he belonged. And the fact that he was able to do it, I know I just mentioned that, you know, some of the blue team starter types weren't competing as hard as the white team was, but Noah Kane did a fair amount of damage, some good, hard, consistent running.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw him play on both teams, but a lot of what he did came on the white team. And I was just impressed by the style, not necessarily the success that we saw,
right,
but the style and you know what I think that means for Penn State's backfield.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, for Penn State, the success of its season is really going to hinge on how its quarterback fares. That'll be the first thing. But the second thing after that will be, what does it do in the backfield to replace Miles Sanders and the production that he brought to the team in 2018? I think that we've talked about it a lot. You'll see all three of those guys in action. I don't know who the starter will be. I don't know if it matters, because I think you'll see plenty of carries for Journey Brown, Ricky Slade, and Noah Kane, and Jaywon Seidel will find a way to get the right guy on the field at the right time when they need to have a hammer out there.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking back one more time at the blue-white game. This segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. This is our stock up, stock down. We mentioned Nick Bowers and Noah Kane so far. I know that this is has some qualifiers to it, but I think Sean Clifford just seems like a nice spring where he looked like he belonged, proved, I think, that he belonged. He played in the blue-white game kind of in character. Just looks like he's good in big moments. This was not a big moment situation, but he just looked so calm, so confident. And I do think that the way he looks effortless in making a wide variety of throws bodes well. He also did have, you know, as we wrap up spring, Tommy Stevens not getting a lot of, you know, Sean Clifford getting all the number one reps,
right,
can be a big deal for him. And James Franklin after the game, not that you would have expected him to say anything different, did say that competition is going to extend into the summertime. You believe that that's a not superficial, but that this is Tommy Stevens and he's got to do something to lose it as opposed to do something to win it. I agree with that dynamic, that Sean Clifford, if he is going to make a run at a starting job, he's got to make it look so obvious that it beats James Franklin over the head.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think even still, I mean, I thought the quote that Tommy Stevens' dad gave the Center Daily Times, John McGonigal, had a story last week about the fact that, you know, if Stevens isn't the starter at Penn State, he'll be a starter somewhere else. That quote baffled me, quite frankly, because where's he going to go start if he's not? If Penn State doesn't name a starter until the middle or end of summer camp, and it's not, if Sean Clifford's not Tommy Stevens, that quote implied that Stevens will leave if he's not the starter. And where's he going to go get a new home and start? I get the sentiment, but I don't fathom how he could possibly leave Penn State and go start somewhere else in 2019. So we'll see. I think, like I said, it's his job to lose. And if he loses it, it will be a shock, quite frankly. I will be shocked.
And I think if it's obvious that Clifford is better, I don't know that that's going to be that degree of obvious, but then James Franklin, I think it would break his heart really to have a guy who stuck it out and who did things the right way and who lived what he wants his guys to live, which is to kind of stick through it through adversity. It would stink for him to not be able to reward that in the end. He's not gonna go that direction at the expense of his program, but I don't think he's gonna have to. As long as Tommy Stevens is healthy and ready, I think you'll see a little bit of Sean Clifford, but Clifford still is a redshirt sophomore. There's still, you know, the natural progression of things. And what Penn State has on its quarterback depth chart as a whole right now is a clear a pretty clear succession plan where you have Tommy Stevens play this out. You have Sean Clifford with 2 years of starting opportunity. You'll have Will Levis with what at that point? 2 years of starting opportunity, I think. And then you got two true freshmen tagging along there. I suspect you'll probably lose one of them. That's a question for later. But he's got a good thing happening on the depth chart.
Yeah, stock up to transfers because there will be a lot of them in the years to come now that college football has now that college football is basically given anyone that wants to move on the opportunity to do so and maybe not even sit out a year. So
yeah,
we'll see how that all plays out.
Other stock ups from my vantage point, just to roll through them quick. Dan Chisena obviously getting a scholarship. That's a stock up, making a big play in the process, a 59-yard touchdown. Jason Oway, another pretty clear indication of what his upside is as a pass rusher. I don't think that his speed off the edge, I don't think anybody else really has that. Maybe Shaka Toney. Obviously, Yutor Gross Matos is a monster in his own way, but Jason Oway in terms of raw speed off that edge, big time. I like the defensive tackles. You know, seeing Fred Hansard out there brings an easier feeling about that. If he's healthy enough to play in the blue-white game, he should be a go for the summer. Stock down, I'll lead this one off too. I think the opportunities for freshman quarterbacks, I'm giving a stock down in these games because it is impossible for these guys. The game is moving fast anyway and all that, but there was really no throwing windows whatsoever. It just kind of sets up. Tommy Stevens was a victim of this too a few years ago. So Michael Johnson Jr. and Taquan Roberson didn't have a really legitimate shot to actually compete and make some big throws in that game.
Yeah, I understand why they set it up the way they do, but it's so frustrating at times because you just wonder what a more balanced contest would look like, and you know that's going on behind closed doors, and you know I know there's reasons for Penn State to stack its rosters the way it does. Doesn't mean we have to like it, or doesn't mean we don't have to think that we could see a better product for the blue white game. But
by the way, did you see Nick Saban was allowing members of the media to call plays at the Alabama?
No, I missed that.
What play would you call if you had the opportunity? I would call I formation under center fullback dive. Don't have a fullback? Let's make one.
Blue white game over X would be my play call. No, you took the word right out of my mouth with the opportunity to run. I'd run a quarterback sneak. How's that sound? Yeah. Under center, actually no, out of shotgun. Just to infuriate those that are convinced.
Least effective quarterback sneak in the history of quarterback sneaks.
Just for the heck of it. So yeah, it's interesting for sure. Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, I don't have too many stock downs. It's hard to really go that direction coming out of the blue-white game. The drops were disappointing. I think the run blocking was a disappointment. I don't think it's time to worry about that stuff. I don't think it was a theme of the spring. But after all the talk about Jared Parker, this, that, and the other thing, you just wish that maybe a couple of those drops could have been eliminated. They weren't all the receivers' fault, by the way. Some of the throws were a problem, too.
We got more in both these areas in our player review segment. Justin Shorter and Will Levis are part of the group of three, along with Marquise Wilson. So we'll talk more quarterbacks and wide receivers in just a moment.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.